Every day, thousands of people get on an airplane. They have a clear understanding about where they're going, where their destination is, where their journey is taking them. But you know, before that cabin door is locked and before that seat belt is buckled, there are a lot of preparations being made to ensure that flight is going to arrive at that destination. So the flight plan's reviewed, the equipment is checked, there are many, many things going on to ensure that everyone is in place and that the passengers are going to arrive at their destination. So you know, once that flight takes off and the flight tower gives the okay, at that point, passengers likely begin to anticipate that destination. The vision of the place that they're headed to can start to stir some excitement. So today, with that said, with that simple analogy of an airline or an airplane taking off, I'm excited to be able to share with everyone this morning what we've been talking about for the last few weeks in the bulletin and as you see on the screen behind me. Vision 2020. You'll notice there's a few different things on the stage up here behind me. You're going to get accustomed to seeing those. But just like the preparations that were needed to ensure that flight took off safely, there have been a lot of preparations made for this day to launch our vision. A vision that is rooted in the Word, a vision that's godly, and really importantly, a vision that is designed to help each one of us as an individual and as a body move closer to each other and our relationship with God. When you think about our vision, it's really a forward look. It's a plan for God's family here in Maryville. That's a vision. Where are we going? We know that we're headed down a path that mirrors the words that we've been given. We're not deviating from a path. Jesus has been clear, wants us to grow into the fullness of Christ, to share the good news. And you know, just like airplanes, and we've all experienced this, sometimes encounter bumpy rides. Some flights are delayed, some are canceled, some take detours. That's life. So life is not always that smooth flight that gets you at an arrival gate on time. But none of us are immune from that, from the tangled web, from the obstacles, from the knots, from all the things that happen that can distract us from what God has intended us to be focused on. And while Jesus promises the abundant life in John 10, we know that the thief comes and can steal our joy, and our priorities become out of sorts. So your shepherds have recognized the importance of communicating a vision to help guide us on this journey, a vision that can help each one of us satisfy the passion that's within our heart, a vision that begins with Jesus, a vision that begins with you and with me, and a vision that begins with our desire to be the church. The church does not exist without Jesus. He has a deep love for the church, for you and for me, and a commitment so strong that we are united as one body with him. Ephesians 5:29 and 30 also tells us that we learn that the unity and the commitment Christ has for the church has such strength that he feeds and cares for it. That just means he's feeding, he's caring for us. Collectively, we're making up his body in this place. Last year, our theme was I Am the Church, and it focused on how each one of us works together to build up the body. That's based on Paul's instructions in Ephesians 4. Now we move to be the church. Be the church. It requires thriving, balanced, healthy members, bodies to perform the mission. So at Maryville, we're striving to be the church on a mission. So our mission statement is in the bulletin regularly, each Sunday. Our mission statement is on the screen behind me. To fulfill the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost, to encourage a never-ending spiritual growth in God's children, and to hold steadfastly to the Bible, which we affirm is the inerrant and inspired word of God. Jesus gave us those words in Matthew 28. It's the basis for our mission. The mission does not change. He's clear. There are three important components of the mission that I just want to call out briefly. To fulfill or go, make disciples. Secondly, to encourage a never-ending spiritual growth. And thirdly, to hold steadfastly to the Bible. Three critical components that help us stay focused. We understand at the beginning of the statement, and often when we think about the Great Commission, we understand the go. We understand that clearly. But within the verse and with what was read this morning, you also know that it's not just go, it's also make disciples. We focus on the go a lot. We need to focus on the make disciples more. Jesus worked with a group of men for 3 years before he ever said, go. Make disciples, a fundamental part of our mission and also our vision. So when we look to the future and we think about connecting the dots on these, we're going to be the church. Here at Maryville, we're striving to be the church. We're on a mission. We just talked about it. It's clear. Matthew 28 outlines it. Now we're going to be the church on a mission with a vision. That's simple. This isn't intended to be hard. It's to simplify. But it's to help us all understand our part. So when we think about our vision, we're striving to make and mature disciples of Jesus who connect, grow, serve, and share with each other and the community. As the banners indicate up here, and they look great, it's a great visual to help us understand those four simple words that'll be the basis for lessons in upcoming weeks. But in doing in performing the vision, it's simply the how of our mission. How to fulfill the mission for spiritual growth and to spread the word. How to grow into the fullness of Christ, as we read about in Ephesians 4:13, to grow into the whole character of Christ. The vision represents movement. The vision represents an activity. The vision represents an engagement. It's personal. and it should be motivating. It should be inspiring, and I would ask for you to think of it this way. It's helping bridge the present with the future. We're all going somewhere. Let's be sure we know what that destination is. There's an old story about three bricklayers that helps illustrate what it looks like to be motivated and inspired by a vision. It goes like this. There were three bricklayers working beside each other on a wall. Someone came up to the first one and said, "What are you doing?" "What does it look like I'm doing?" the man replied sarcastically. "I'm laying bricks." The man asked the next guy what he was doing. He said, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall." Then the last man was asked what he was doing. He smiled and he enthusiastically said, "I'm building a great church for God." I love that story. It helps put it in perspective. It helps us understand, are we so focused on one task we lose the big picture? Vision causes people to love what they do because they see the big picture. That's what we desire for this body. We want to see the big picture. Without the vision, we can get bogged down. We can take the path of least resistance, and growth kind of takes the back seat. We can become discouraged and lose sight of the path that Jesus put in front of us. So to help bring that to light, this diagram that's on the screen, I think, does that. And this illustration is a great visualization of this process of our vision. At the top of the screen, simply make and mature disciples, as we're commanded to do. As the verses indicate, we are to make and mature disciples for our Lord. There's movement to this. As it came up on the screen, you should have seen the activity coming into play that we are commanded to connect, to grow in our relationships with God and one another, to grow in truth and in spirit, to serve each other and the community, and to share. Share Jesus here and abroad. The body is healthier when we all work with a balanced approach. We know from Ephesians 4:13 that the fullness of Christ means a maturity perfectly balanced with the character of Christ. How are we doing on developing all the characters of Christ within us? Our vision is intended to help us stay focused on that. There are no age limits on this vision. From the oldest to the youngest, it applies. There's a spot on this wheel, on this diagram, for every one of us. And you know, it's a good time to think about where we are in that process. For those in the audience that haven't put on Christ, this is a great way to be focused on what Jesus wants you to do. And it's my prayer in the coming weeks you can understand that even better and make a decision. For those that are new Christians and just saying, where do I go next? Which class should I be in? What should I do? How do I balance my time? We desire this program to help, that we're helping each other mature. Or for those of us that are more mature in years, but maybe not in faith, how do we dig into the meat? How do we learn more? How do we grow into that fullness that Jesus desires us to be? So in putting this all together, as we think about our vision 2020, our statement is simple. Four key words help describe the process that we want to get everyone focused on, and much will be said about that in the future. But I think it's important as we look forward to look back and again take a spiritual inventory for yourself and to think about that, dwell on it, study on it. You know you better than anyone else. And I think as we do that, It's important for you to know that your shepherds and your ministers have worked diligently over many months to develop a discipleship pathway to help put in front of us, to help us be focused and to grow. And I think it's very important that you also know that during this process, your shepherds have devoted time in prayer for each and every one of you, for each and every one of you by name. Prayers have been lifted up. As we roll this process out, we pray for you. We've prayed for each other. We've prayed for this body. We've prayed that we can search our hearts, that we can see the opportunities that God's putting in front of us. We care deeply for your souls, for your spiritual health. And as a body growing to the fullness of Christ, this vision, our focus into the future, is designed to help us all draw closer to Christ. We care for the future of this church and every member. Before Jonathan comes up, I'd like to close with a prayer. Bow with me, please. Father, we know that you're in our presence, and I pray your blessings on your church in this place at this time. And as we look to the future and focus on our relationships with you and with each other, shower down blessings upon us. This is a vision that is intended to glorify you, not men. This is a vision that is intended to lift up your name so that others in this community and around the world will know you. I pray that your Spirit, God, will open our eyes to the opportunities you place in front of us and that you will bless our efforts to make and mature disciples in this community and across the nation and across the world. Thank you, God, for every member. Whether they're here today or they couldn't be here or there's something keeping them away, bless every member, Father. Help us to reach out. We're thankful for the gifts that they have. And God, I just pray that our enthusiasm for you will fuel a passion that is contagious to others. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We are the church of Jesus. We are the followers of Christ. And we're all traveling down that pathway of trying to follow him. Now, as we make our journey along the pathway, sometimes we stumble and sometimes we fall, but we get back up and we help each other along and we keep pressing forward as we make our way down the path of discipleship. As ministers here in this place, our job is to help minister to you and to each other as we try to follow Jesus. Our shepherds have the tremendous task of overseeing the spiritual growth of you, each one of us, as we make our way down the discipleship journey, the pathway of following Jesus. It's like a race. The scripture describes it that way many times. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with this this sport called ultra running. It's like people that run a marathon, and the Christian life is like that. The Christian life is not a sprint, but instead it's distance running. It's a marathon. Well, ultra running is that kind of thing. It's a sport where people run extremely long distances across difficult, sometimes difficult terrain, rushing toward the finish line. I want to introduce you this morning to a man by the name of Rocket Jones. He's a 65-year-old ultra runner. And his story is one of pain and perseverance. It is a story of self-discovery. But I think his story serves for us a great analogy of what it means as we are all together running down the path of following after Jesus. We're going to watch this brief video clip.
Hi, you've reached Errol the Rocket Jones. Please leave a message of sorts after the beep. And again, wait for the tone before you leave your message.
Any trail, anywhere, but especially here.
Rocket Jones has been running these marathons for a long period of time, running over long terrain, and he talks about the importance of perseverance and of staying on the path. Jesus, our Lord, did not come to start a new religion. He came to show us a new way of living. When God came to this world in human form, He looked at all of us and said, "Follow me." And then He took off down the path and He showed us the way to live. Jesus was the ultimate distance runner. He was the ultimate ultra runner because He ran down the trail and He showed us what it means to truly be human. And He ran the course all the way to the very end. You see, the path to what it means to really live, to really experience the life that God has for each one of us, means that we must choose to run. You got to make that choice. Each one of us has to decide for ourselves individually to embrace the disciple's path. Jesus made clear that you've got that choice. In fact, in His teaching, He said there are two paths that are set before each one of us. One path is wide and it's easy. It's the way most people travel. Most people take that path because it requires little effort, but it leads to personal ruin and destruction. But the invigorating fresh air that comes rushing into our lungs is found on the more difficult path, the one that takes the journey and runs up the terrain and keeps pushing. It is the path that follows Jesus. It is the path of the disciple. Few people choose to take this path of the disciple because it is a path of personal discipline. It is a path that's sometimes hard and it is sometimes painful. It is the path of pleasure and pain. It is the path of painful progress. It is the path that strains up the hill. It is the path that swims against the tide. It is the path that goes into training. It is the path of becoming more than you are. It is intentional. It's deliberate. But the pleasure comes in the overcoming. Life is found on the path of the disciple. Now, nobody can run that path for you. Nobody can choose to go down the disciple's path except you and me. Each one of us has a choice to make. You see, you don't just sign up for "I want to be a follower of Jesus" and then sit on the sidelines of the path. A true disciple is always running the race. A true disciple is always climbing the mountain. A true disciple is always pushing ahead. So you got to be honest with yourself. Are you willing to look deep within and ask the hard questions? Are you really committed to going down the disciple's path? Are you taking the steps of following Jesus? The path of the disciple might be best described, as Randy has explored them for us this morning, as your leadership is presenting to you by four activities. The disciple of Jesus is all about connecting and growing and serving and sharing, because the disciple of Jesus is about balanced, holistic maturity in Jesus. You see, a disciple is living. You or I, if we're traveling this path, we live to connect with God and to connect with each other The path of the disciple is one where we're committed to growing in the knowledge of what God's truth is, but not just embracing it in our minds as cold facts, but instead embracing it into a spirit-filled way of life. You see, a disciple follows the sacrificial example of Jesus. In everything he did, he served us. And so we serve each other as disciples. And we go out and we serve in our community. A disciple has fully embraced the Jesus life, which means that we naturally desire to share the overwhelming life that has been placed in us with others around us, both near to us and in distant places. You see, the path of the disciple is marked along the way by four identifiable trail markers. As we make our way running down the disciple's path, we are connecting and growing and serving and sharing. But each one of us has to make that choice. Each one of us must choose to run the path. But hear me on this. Don't run alone. God did not mean, Jesus didn't mean for any of us to run this path by ourselves. Jesus did not just die for you as an individual. He died for us that we might be His people, that we might be the church, that we might be the children of God. So Jesus died to create a community of disciples, a gathering of runners along the path. And as we stumble and fall, we're there to encourage each other and build each other up and help each other to keep running down the path of endurance. We help each other down the path. You see, the church is to be a place where we get trained in the disciples' path. And as a church leadership, your ministers and your shepherds want to help all of us along the way to have a clarity of purpose with our statement of vision. What are we about as the Church of Jesus Christ in Maryville, Tennessee? We are plotting before all of us a clear vision that we are about making and maturing disciples of Jesus who connect, grow, serve, and share with each other and with our community. And your leadership, we have now refocused and recommitted ourselves with this renewal of our vision and our mission, that we are committed as your leadership to help each one of you, to help us as a gathering, to provide and improve environments and opportunities, strategies and tools to help you to run down the disciples' path. We want to provide for you a simple process to help you in your personal spiritual growth, to help train you to be an ultra runner for Jesus who runs the distance. And so over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be exploring each one of these four crucial pathway markers: connect, grow, serve, and share. And we invite each one of you to take this journey with us. And let's walk this trail together. Taking the disciples' path is about embracing the pleasure and the pain of the path that Jesus walked. Walking the path of the disciple is not easy, but it is one that leads to joy and peace and life that is everlasting. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, You have walked before us, and You walked the distance all the way to the cross. And You gave Your life that we might live. And so now we, as Your followers, walk down the path after You. But we readily confess that we stumble and we fall along the way. And we just pray, Father, that You help us to be your church, to be your people in this place, to help each other, to connect, to grow, to serve and share as we further mature in following after you. Please help the leadership of this church as we plot this course, and may every person join and make the decision individually to join together and to travel the disciples' path. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand?